Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
No, you're okay. You don't need headphones. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. 51551, that's our text now. A couple of weeks ago, some of you might remember, we did our visiting critic. You know, we bring somebody out of their comfort zone, who you might know, and it was football legend Roddy Collins. And his comfort zone was going to the theatre. And it was a Lady Gregory play called The Rising of the Moon. And it's one of the lunchtime plays they have in Bewley's Cafe Theatre on Grafton Street, upstairs there. But Roddy Collins gave a rave review for the two actors, so two of the actors in the play. So we thought we'd invite them to the studio to find out more about them. And I think they have very interesting stories to say. So we'd like to welcome Michael Tient.
He's
in his 20s. He's from Ballymun. You're from Ballymun, Michael, aren't you?
Like Fingless Ballymun area, yeah.
Fingless Ballymun.
Yeah.
Fingless forward slash.
It's a little bit about,
because it depends on the day when you want to post. And Oisín Thompson is from Belfast.
Yeah.
And you know each other extremely well. And well, we find out. But we'll, Roddy Collins, you know, he's like an acting agent. In some ways. Michael, we start with you. You're only a young fella. You're 21, 22?
I'm 21, yeah.
21. So you found love of acting in your teenage
years. Yes. So basically, the reason I started acting was because I was very, 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 very... I was just not well-behaved at all. I was acting... I was just, like, acting at home and stuff. And, like, that was a lot of the reasons. Because my mom was trying to find a way for me to, like, be... like, to help me to, so I could just stop misbehaving. I think it's because I was young and, like, stuff was going on and things. And basically, when we were in second year, we had to do an oral presentation.
Yeah.
And we decided to do a play. And my science teacher... she said that she thought when we did the play, I had a monologue. I remember I was the only person that learned the thing off. And I learned it, did it, and then kind of she thought I was great. So she offered, she basically said to me, you can, there's this thing called the Minute Theatre, and this thing you should go to. But the day she told me this, I remember I used to Mitch school all the time. And one of the days, yeah, I know, I was bad. But here's the thing, it changes after a while.
we come back to that.
But I used to Mitch school and stuff. I remember one of the days I was about to go Mitch, and she calls me, and usually I would just kept walking. But for some reason, on that day, I turned around, and she gave out to me, obviously, granted, because I was going to leave.
Yeah.
And then she said, there's an open day the next day, which was because it was a Friday. She said, on a Saturday, it's going to be an open day for W Theatre. I think you should go, because I remember you in your oral presentation and stuff. And I think it would be great for you to do. And then from there, just kind of... I went to the open day, I did the audition, and I've just been acting ever since. So that was when I was 15.
This was Miss Farrelly, was it?
Miss Farrelly, yes.
Yes.
Sarah, Miss Farrelly.
Shout out to the teacher. Yeah. Come here, why did you go Mitching? Do you remember why?
I think it's because I remember school was at a place where I think it's just, I was just trying to do my own, I was really honestly just trying to do my own thing. I think I was just like struggling at home with like stuff, or I was like just personal stuff that was going on in my life at the time, and things weren't really working out, and I just like didn't want to do anything but do school, but yeah. I didn't know that I could do acting and also
do that world thing.
And then like once I found it, I kind of like latched on and like just kind of kept arts in my like my world and my field of things of doing. And
did you break your mammy's heart
when I
during the school years
yeah, I did, and I'd like to obviously I have to give big apologies to her, because my mom's the best. I remember when I asked her about going to drama school, I was terrified, because I was like, oh, she's going to be like, because my mom's a Nigerian mom, she'd be like, hey, Michael, you need to be a doctor, you need to be something like smart to do. So I remember asking her and be like, yo, I don't want to do paramedic studies, I want to do acting, what do you think I should do? And yeah.
You would expect the mammies would go,
be a paramedic.
Michael.
Then my mom was like, no, you should be an actor. And I said, ah, mommy, are you okay? And then she said, she was like, no. And I was like, why? And she said, because it'll be good for your heart. And you won't do anything, your heart's not in. And I cried, and then I hugged her, and then I was like, okay, I'm going to audition for drama school.
Rosemary is the mammy.
Rosemary, that's my mom's name.
So she's strong Nigerian mammy. Are Nigerian mammies different to Irish mammies?
We're all the same, you know.
Except for Rosemary.
My mom's she's special, you know.
That's great. We come to then how you met, but Oisín, listening to that, you were a model student, I think, were you? You were certainly not
avoiding
school.
But I really liked school when I was in it, especially when I was a teenager. Because obviously I went to school in Belfast and we have drama as a subject.
Is that right?
Yeah, which a lot of my friends now that I've met, it's not really a thing here in the South.
No, it's not.
And
this is in secondary school, you do drama.
Yeah, so like GCSE and A-level, that was like first thing on the list. This is what I'm studying. Absolutely loved it. And when I was finishing school, I was like, okay, I want to be an actor. But then you meet all these people that come in and go, yeah, but what are you actually going to do? Speaking with, like, my mum and dad were always so supportive of me doing that, but were like, get a job. So I spent a year studying law at Queen's University in Belfast.
It's a prestigious course.
I hated every day of it. Every day of it. I was sat in like lecture halls just being like, no, this isn't for me. And I met somebody who'd gone to drama school and he sort of explained what it was. And I was like, that sounds like a bit of me. It's exactly what I want. So I went home, told my dad I was dropping out. And he goes, no, you're not. I was like, no, I am. Like,
is there law in the family?
No, not really. Okay. Not really.
But he obviously just took this as the practical
this
thing.
As a thing. Like, they work in like a charity and stuff, and sort of, you know, going to university was like a thing they really wanted for us because my daddy didn't go to university and stuff. My brother was studying law. He's actually doing a master's in human rights, which is really cool.
So I was like, he has
that covered. I'll go be the artist. So
you were saying, I don't need to convince you this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, this is what I'm doing. And
it must have been nerve-wracking enough though, was it, dropping out?
I was lucky enough that, like, you know, I could drop out and I worked for a year, kind of saving, lived with my friends, and then went, okay, do my auditions, got into the Lear and was buzzing. And yeah.
And that's where you meet Michael.
That's where I met Michael.
How did you get into the Lear?
I got into the Lear because, the choice for me to go to drama school was quite hard. Actually, like, a few of my friends I went to Dublin Youth Theatre with, and National Youth Theatre, especially Ali O'Neill, shout out, and Dara O'Donnell, shout out.
Such an actor, really.
I know. But they were just like, you should do it. And I remember, people have told me about drama school, but I never thought it was a thing I could do. I didn't think it was a thing that was possible in my mind for me to do because I just didn't see it in my field. I felt like I had to do something that was practically smart just to make money because I didn't think I could make money from doing this because I didn't see myself. I didn't see someone that looks like me in the industry, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. What do you mean? You mean a black kid? Is that what you mean?
Well, I guess, yeah, because I mean, like, watching plays, because especially I was in theatre a lot, and I was seeing a lot of theatre, there wasn't as many. And then, like, having conversations with people, especially in new theatre, being like, you have to be the change you want to see.
Yes.
So by me doing this career, it's like a thing being like, I can, like, that black kid who's going to see a play, who loves theater but doesn't really want to say anything, can go to a play, watch it, and then be like, oh, I see myself in that. But maybe it's something I can do. That's something I can do, if you know what I mean. Yeah,
It's amazing because in theater in particular, the colorblind casting happened there first, didn't it?
Yeah.
Famously with Hamilton, but it was happening in the West End.
I guess it was just in Irish theater mostly.
I wasn't seeing it
as much back when I was like 15.
Six years ago.
Whoa. Yeah.
But that's how quickly the change has happened.
So you're in
the Lear Academy, which, by the way, we should say is the famous Academy of Dramatic Arts, I think is the official title in Trinity College there. Yeah. Brilliant site and everything. So you come down from West Belfast, Oisín, and you meet Michael there. Are you in the same year?
Same year. I'm from day one. We just, started.
We clicked. Well, I thought you didn't like me in first year.
That's mad.
Yeah. But I guess,
why did you think that?
I don't know. We just didn't talk that much.
Did we not?
No. So we're calling this out now.
This
which
is
crazy.
Therapy. Cool.
Oliver, I'm really upset about first year.
What did he do in first year already?
Anyway, but I think we really started getting close during like Rising of the Moon.
Even before that, we had like a project where
you had
to like sit with somebody
and you have
to have like a 60-minute conversation
where
you just kind of get to the bottom of who each other are, meet each other kind of as people, then as artists, and what type of work you want to do.
Yeah.
So me and Michael, this was during COVID.
You're made to do this during a...
Yeah, during college. It's like, you know, basically a way into building things, right, to start devising work. And me and Michael were the only two people in the actual college at the time because it was COVID.
COVID, yeah.
And like, I was struggling.
You're physically there.
Yeah. We had no laptops.
We had no laptops, like, because this is COVID. And we were, I was struggling to find a house in Dublin because of obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And then the college were like, okay, we can let you come in and use a laptop, but you're going to be the only person there. And I was like, okay, logging in. And I started hearing noises behind me. And Michael just danders into the room. And I was like, what's up? So me and him were obviously naturally paired together.
Yeah.
And we just had to sit in front of each other and have this conversation. And it was really the first time that it was like seeing each other, understanding each other, where we come from. And like, we just kind of clicked.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Finglas and West Belfast.
Do you know what I mean?
Together at last.
Makes sense.
I'm saying it's a it's written in the stars.
Even though he hated you in first year. But how long is the course, by the way? Many years are you?
3 years.
3 years, yeah.
3 years. And you're done and finished now, graduated.
Yeah, we finished last summer.
Last summer. Last July.
Yeah.
This was the best decision of your lives, I take it, listening to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the Lear was, honestly, the way the training you get from there and like the skills they give you, it's just like you can use them on anything.
Like, don't get us wrong, it was hectic,
crazy.
It was the hardest thing I ever did because, like, God. 3 years where everything else can't be as important because you're there like Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. type of thing, you know, because there's so much to do. You're working on a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I know it's only acting and I know it's dress up and pretend, but like,
what was that thing?
When
that,
it's what you love,
it's
your whole world.
It is a
craft. What was the thing that Hillary say? It's like acting is simple, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
My God.
Type thing.
Wise.
Wisdom. That's what you're doing really between the hours of night. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you put on a play at the end. Isn't there always a big thing at the end of the Lear?
In third year, you're doing kind of public shows the whole way through.
Yeah. You do
so
five,
it's every 6 weeks.
So you do five shows.
No way.
Yeah, you do five shows, do one showcase. And you also do a film in the final year as well. And that's it's 1 year you actually get to, like, you're working as an actor throughout the whole thing.
Is there then a kind of a cliff edge? You're out of the Lear Academy, graduate, and suddenly now big bad world of the impossible profession, the industry where almost nobody makes it.
Yeah.
And in you go.
Yeah.
In you go.
What happened?
Because Michael was pretty, I was going to say lucky. No, he deserved it.
Oh my God, this relationship's going to, this friendship is falling apart. Yeah.
Life on it.
No, I was really, really blessed in the fact that I was able to work pretty much as soon as I graduated. I worked, did a show at Pan Pan. I also went on tour with them as well to London.
The show was who?
Pan Pan Theatre Company.
Oh yeah, go and tell us.
And then, so it was a play called History Play. We did in Dublin Theatre Festival.
Yes.
And it was about all these different Napoleons and like trying to find themselves through history. It's kind of a performance art piece.
You're far too tall for Napoleon, that's
for sure. Oh, well, I was a lot taller in the play.
He was wearing stilts.
I had like foot
he
tall.
He was huge.
Oh,
I'm
6'5",
by the way. But I had like foot tall stilts with me on top of them, so I was literally 7'5". It was crazy. And there's a moment
quite a presence on stage.
It was great crack. And then, like, so I was quite lucky in the fact that I was able to have work after. And then I also toured with them as well, not with the same play, a different play, in London and Germany. And And then I also did a musical in the Arc, The Giger Treatment by Roddy Doyle, which was great crack. And then
For kids, isn't it?
Yeah, for kids, But it was actually, I think I love the Arc. I would suggest anyone go bring their kids to their shows because they care so much about...
That's a brilliant shout-out.
They care so much about producing work and, like, the way... And, like, even just seeing, like, even performing it with them and just, like, seeing how the kids react to, like, little funny things or things that they get or, like, their their parents get it quickly but the kids get it later. I was like, that's what he said, like, later on. It was the best time. But, yeah. Quite lucky in that fact. I feel like I know where I'm going with this.
And then the Bewley's Cafe. Well, what's your new test? What you've been doing since?
I graduated and then went to work in a whiskey distillery.
This is also the classic actor story, isn't it?
Yeah. Turns like so many people work in like a whiskey distillery, whiskey museum type of thing. But I was doing that and then I kind of saw a post or someone sent me a post about people looking for Irish speakers to come and do a play. Yeah.
So I met Gael Galifa, August.
So Hannick May Shaw or the Mind Social Day. I saw it on social media and then was like, okay, I'm going to apply for that there. Did an audition and met an amazing director called M. O'Kelly. And we did a play called In Cosella, which was about young men finding their sexuality in changing rooms of a Gaelic football team.
Wow.
Which is a story like, you know, classic rom-com type of things, but in Irish. So it was really fun.
You can get away with anything.
Yeah, we can get away. And we got away with murder.
The biggest one finds you there.
But I had an unreal experience where after we did the play, these two older men come up to me, and they were a couple, and they must have been, you know, mid to late 60s, and they were speaking obviously in Irish to me, and they were saying, we heard about this play today at 3 o'clock, and they came from, I think from Drumcondra out to Ballymun, because we did it in the Axis, and they came that day, rushed through rush hour traffic to make to the play, and really? They came up to me afterwards and just said, that was incredible, thank you so much for kind of having that on stage. And so that kind of privilege to be like, that's unreal. I made you.
That's all you want.
Something. Yeah, that's it. What
was the name of the play, by the way?
And Cosella.
Is it coming back?
I hope so. We're hoping for funding.
Yeah, let us know when it's coming. Yeah. There's a text coming in here. Very inspiring to listen to these two young men doing youth theatre. Marolis, there's a new Leaving Cert subject that will be introduced into Irish schools. Starts September 2025, so September next year, called Drama, Film and Theatre Studies. It'll enable youngsters like yourselves, and particularly Oisin, because you were in West Belfast, you have that, to engage with drama within the secondary school system.
Unreal. And I mean, that's like when I was in secondary school. Do you know, I would finish school at 3:30. See, from about 3:30 to 4:30, I was just sitting in my school's drama department with my friends, chatting, whatever. Yeah, yeah. And then sometimes lifting a play, reading a scene and having fun. So see, that freedom for a kid to be able to do that in school, it's exactly what they need.
Didn't you do, you did Shark Tale.
In Irish.
In Irish. Crazy.
In less than a minute, Oisin, can you do your Abbey, your story about the debut at the Abbey Theatre?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was sort of moving home at Christmas back to Belfast. I was like, I'm getting out of Dublin, rent's too dear, la, 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 la. And then about a week after going home, I got a phone call from Louise Lowe, this incredible director, who asked me if I wanted to do a play at the Abbey. And I was like, 100% do. So I moved back to Belfast, slept on different friends' floors for like a couple of weeks, and understudied a show called Hammam at the Abbey Theatre. And eventually I got on, you know, as the understudy, did the play, and it was with the most amazing actors in the world. And so I did my bit in the play, then into the changing room. And while the play was going on, the director came into me and was like, so how do you feel after doing your Abbey debut? And I was like, this is crazy. This is like dream coming true. From I was like 15, looking at the Abbey going, I'm going to work there one day.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the Lyric in Belfast.
Lyric in Belfast is still on the list.
Gorgeous theatre.
Still on the
list.
Next.
Yeah. That's next. Kind of like a sister theatre. Yeah. Briefly, what have you got next? You both have work coming up, don't you? And you're auditioning all the time.
Yeah, we have a lot of things coming up. I'm doing a shit. Oh, yeah.
No, just like...
Yeah. We have other things coming up next. I think we can talk about...
Let us know and we'll promote it. But in the meantime, Michael Tiant and Oisin Thompson, a privilege. Really enjoyed your story. Thanks so much. We're going to take a quick break before we go.
From the North, Tech Studio, followed by your message to 80889.